maybe disagreeable living conditions in some far-off place. How could I even suggest such a life to her, unless she herself were heart and soul committed to the idea as well? And so the following week I started my campaign to make a missionary out of Teal. I told her about the moment at the meeting when the conviction had hit me, and how sure I had been since of God's hand in this choice. Strangely enough, the hardest thing for Teal to accept seemed to be not the rigours of mission life, but the fact that I had walked forward in front of all those people. "One place I agree with Mr. Donker, though," she said. "The place to start any ministry is at home. Why don't you get a job right around Victor and consider that your mission field at first? You'll discover quickly enough whether or not you're meant to be a missionary." This made sense. The largest industry anywhere near Victor was the huge Ringer's chocolate factory in Alkmaar. Geltje's husband Arya worked there, and when I asked him, he said he would put in a good word for me with the hiring office. The night before I biked to Alkmaar to apply for a job, I had a wonderful dream. The factory was full of despondent, unhappy people who noticed at once that I had something different. They crowded around me, demanding my secret. When I told them, truth dawned on their faces. Together we knelt. I was really sorry when I had to wake up. I sat on the wooden bench outside the hiring office at Ringers. The cloying smell of chocolate hung in the air, heavy and unappealing. "Next!" I walked through the door as briskly as I could. I had left my cane at home. Walking was still painful for me, but, except when I was tired, I had learned to step on the injured ankle without limping. The personnel director was scowling at the application form in front of him. "Medical discharge," he read aloud. He looked at me suspiciously. "What's the matter with you?" "Nothing," I said, feeling the blood rush to my face. "I can do anything anyone here can do."
"Touchy, aren't you?"
But he gave me a job. I was to count boxes at the end of one of the packaging assemblies, then wheel them to the shipping room. A slack-faced boy led me through a maze of corridors and stairways, and at last pushed open the door to an enormous assembly room where perhaps 200 girls were ranged around a dozen conveyor belts. He left me at one of them.
"Girls, this is Andrew. Have fun." To my astonishment, a chorus of whistles greeted this introduction, then shouted suggestions. "Hey, Ruthie, how would you like him?" "Can't tell by looking." Then followed perversion and bathroom talk. Even my years in the army had not prepared me for the language I heard that morning. The leader of the foul wisecracking, I discovered, was a girl named Gritja. Her favourite subject was sodomy. She speculated aloud on which animal would find a soulmate in me. I was grateful when my cart was full and I could escape for a few moments to what seemed like the sanctuary of male company in the shipping room.